Hey there, I'm an animated Connor Walsh, which is kind of ironic because people say I'm pretty animated in real life. Anyway, welcome to Walsh Wednesday, my new slash old podcast. Let me explain. Back in high school in 2013, I was pressured by some friends to do an impromptu solo acoustic performance in my cafeteria. Believe it or not, people really took to it. And it turned into a monthly musical series I did through the rest of high school. Who said High School Musical wasn't realistic? By college, I turned Walsh Wednesday into a web series, focusing on interviews surrounding community events, charities, and local entertainment in the Hudson Valley and Capital Regions of New York. Walsh Wednesday spawned several spin-offs such as the Walsh Wednesday Concert Series, Walsh Wednesday Spotlights, and Walsh Wednesday The Reflective Series before its hiatus in 2021. After that, I spent the last 3 years working in radio, honing my craft, conducting unbelievable interviews, traveling to fascinating places, attending mind-blowing events, and meeting some of my personal heroes. Now, with the help of some awesome people I've met along the way, I'm bringing Walsh Wednesday back bigger and better than ever. Let's stay curious, keep an open mind, and as always, I'm glad we get to spend some time. Welcome to Walsh Wednesday. On this week's episode, we're speaking with Kathy McCarthy, Senior Director of Marketing Communications with the New York State Chapter of the American Heart Association. We're speaking about American Stroke Month for the end of May, and for the beginning of June, CPR and AED Awareness Week. Thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, all of those who have generously contributed to the Walsh Wednesday 2025 Fund Drive. You can see the list of names on screen or in the description of this episode. And of course, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday Warriors, Jim Robinson, John Newhall, Meg Boyce, and Jenna Hess. These individuals have pledged $100 or more to Walsh Wednesday for 2025, either through the GoFundMe or our Patreon. This episode of Walsh Wednesday is brought to you by Impact PR and Communications, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Dayrock, Lockset Rock Hair Design, and Walsh Valuation. Hey there, and welcome back to Walsh Wednesday. As always, I'm Connor Walsh, and we got a great episode for you guys today. You've seen their ads in a couple of previous episodes, specifically talking about the Heart Walk that they had a couple of... is it a couple of months ago now? Jeez,
time flies.
Time flies, Jesus. Okay, but either way, there's a lot of great things that they have going on, and number of specific events, specific months that they are trying to spread awareness and education on certain health conditions. So with us today from the American Heart Association, we have Kathy McCarthy, Senior Director of Marketing Communications with the New York State Chapter of the American Heart Association. May is American Stroke Month. And then right after May, we have June. The very first week in June is CPR and AED Awareness Week. We're going to be getting into that along with some legislation on cardiac emergency response plans in school, which I was telling Kathy a second ago. I was like, why didn't I learn this in a class? Obviously some little stuff, but should have been more. That's enough of the intro. Happy to have her with us today. Kathy, how are you?
I'm great, Connor. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely.
Nice to be here.
And as I said before we got started officially, I love the glasses. The glasses are perfect.
You know, red, when you work for the American Heart Association and you see anything red, you just buy it. I have a dress covered in hearts. It was $14. I thought it would fit me, but I thought for $14, I'll buy it. I wear it everywhere and say to people, do you see my heart dress?
That's perfect. That's great.
It is, obviously.
When you're in that kind of field, that's the perfect thing to get. I'm glad it fits. I'm glad it works. And I'm sure with the glasses, it is particularly exquisite. Very, very nice, Kathy.
So, thank you.
Absolutely. So, of course, May is American Stroke Month, and there's a lot of different things that we can talk about when it comes to strokes. First of all, I guess the big thing is something that I was relatively new to. I'm obviously familiar with the term stroke, but I guess I didn't realize how many different kinds of strokes there are.
Yeah.
So if you wouldn't mind, tell us what a stroke is and kind of go into the different kinds of it for anybody who this is new information to as well.
Sure, I'm happy to do that. The American Heart Association and the American Stroke Association, we're the same organization. We're all about education. So this is a great opportunity to really let people know what stroke is. And basically, stroke is an interruption in the blood flow in your brain. And there are two main kinds. One is ischemic, where there is a clot. And it just that clot blocks the blood flow. So nothing happens and your body starts to shut down. Your brain can't work. The other kind is hemorrhagic, and that's a bleed. So you might have a tear in a vein or an artery in your brain. And then there are something that we hear a lot about, especially with older relatives. They'll talk about TIAs, and that's a transient ischemic attack. And that's kind of like a warning shot across the bow of the bowel, where maybe somebody, I knew a woman one time, and she said, I was in my closet getting ready for a trip, and I wanted to get a suitcase. And then a minute later, I stood there and didn't know why I was there. So those are the three main kinds. And then we talk about a cryptogenic stroke that nobody knows where it came from or why it happened. So the main thing with all of these, Connor, is time. You want to act quickly, even with those TIAs, even if you're back on track and everything feels fine and you might be inclined to say, maybe it was just a thing. Please call your doctor. Don't hesitate. Your life's too valuable.
Absolutely. And it's kind of crazy because stroke is one of those things where there really are levels to it. It is a large spectrum across the different kinds of strokes there are, but then how hard a stroke hits you. There are some, like you see in the movies, where it's like really big and it hits and it's like, okay, immediately somebody called the paramedics. But there are other cases where I know people in real life where it's like they find out that they had a stroke. After they had the stroke, they didn't realize that they were having a stroke.
And that's why I'd love to just go over the acronym FAST because it's easy to remember and it can help if you're having the symptoms or if you see someone having the symptoms. So the first letter is F, face drooping. A is arm weakness, and S is slurred speech. And then T is time to call 911. And you'll hear medical professionals talk about time being brain. So the sooner you can get treatment, the better you are at recovering any brain loss or even preventing it. And I have to give a shout out for science. And one of the big things that the Heart Association does is we fund a lot of research. And some of the research that we have funded, other studies, they're what have come up with clot busting drugs. Or there is a device, this is a little freaky, but also cool. A neurosurgeon can put a probe into that artery or vein, and they can pull out the clot. So
Oh,
then the blood
wow.
flow is restored. But obviously, the key is to get to the hospital quickly. So another piece of advice that you'll hear is like, if you and I were talking and I noticed your face droop, or all of a sudden the words you were saying were just weird, like one thing to do is kind of clock it. Oh, okay, that happened at 3:47, so that when you call 911, they have a time stamp. You can say this happened at this point so that you can kind of keep track of it. But the quicker you can get to the ER, you can either have that surgery performed or you can take a clot busting drug right away, or they can start to repair the ruptured vessel.
No, I think that's really good to know. And I'm glad that there are such leaps in how we can treat it and the way that we can take care of things. Also, the awareness for it, FAST, definitely a very powerful acronym. It's easy to remember. And fortunately, I've heard it a lot. So if I've heard it a lot, other people have heard it a lot, hopefully at least. But when it comes to stroke, it's pretty high up there when it comes to how it affects people here in the United States. If I'm not mistaken, it's the fifth leading cause of death. Is that true?
It is true. It is. It's the fifth killer in the country. The good news with that is I've been doing this job with the Heart Association for 17 years. When I started, it was the number three killer.
Oh, wow.
So raising awareness and then combined with that research and the treatment protocols, it did reduce it in that last little bit. The unfortunate part, Connor, is that it's still the leading cause of disability. And again, that's why it's so important to act quickly if you are having a stroke or you think someone is, because you just, you could deal with those side effects for the rest of your life.
So when you say leading cause for disability, for anybody who might be confused out there, that's what you were talking about with the time in regards to the brain, right? This is where the longer you wait for treatment, the more brain damage could be done and the less neural responses go through your system. And then unfortunately, you may not have as much access or mobility with your legs or your arms or your face, your speech, things along those lines, right?
The initial treatment might not be as effective. You might miss that window. And then there are great therapies. You can keep on trying. And I've met a lot of really inspiring stroke survivors who keep at it, keep at it, keep at it. And you can make a lot of progress. So there's hope. There's
No,
always hope.
absolutely. There is hope. And of course, with organizations such as yours, the American Heart Association, the fact that there are people that are championing this and really working towards that health, it makes a big difference. So, again, the fact that it's the fifth leading cause of death in the nation and the leading risk factor for disability, what are those odds like? What is the numbers look like when it comes to people in the nation? And are there specific demographics, whether in race, age, gender, that should be worried about this more so than others?
Everyone should worry about it because everyone can be affected by it. Young people need to pay special attention. We are seeing more strokes in young people.
Really? Why?
Well, that's the question, right? So,
Interesting.
that's something that we'll keep on studying to figure out why it is. Black people are at a much higher risk of stroke. Again, we don't know why. We just know that statistically they are. And women are at greater risk of stroke. And a lot of the things that are associated with pregnancy and childbirth can also lead to more risk factors for stroke. So it's something that women in those childbearing years really need to pay attention to. And of course, let's talk about things you can do to prevent stroke, right? If everybody eats a healthy diet, full of vegetables, whole grains, really keep the sodium low, and just try to, cook a little more at home, maybe eat a little bit less, and try to be consuming healthy foods, cut out sugary beverages. The healthier your body is, the better it is. We talked some about this rainy, rainy spring,
Yes.
winter, and fall that we had, but right now I'm looking out at a beautiful day, so it's a great time to remind yourself that you love exercise, you love a walk, you love to ride your bike, anything like that. If you can keep your body moving, that can help prevent stroke as well. And high blood pressure is a huge risk factor for stroke. And the problem with blood pressure, Connor, is we call it the silent killer. It's silent. We don't know that we have it a lot of times. So that is something to check. Like I get obsessive. I go to the supermarket, I check my blood pressure. I go to the drugstore, I'm checking my blood pressure. I go to the doctor's office and I'm like, well, yesterday it was blah, blah, blah. But do check it regularly. And there are some great at-home self-monitoring blood pressure cuffs that you can use. There's information on heart.org to tell you what your blood pressure ought to be. And if it's not where it should be, see your doctor. It's not worth messing with that.
Yeah, no, I hear you with that. It's interesting. A few things that you said there. The fact that younger people are at risk for strokes and you're seeing more numbers with it. I know a musician actually. I believe they're in their 40s now, but when they were 25, 26, they had a stroke. And fortunately, they're still playing. They're incredible, but it has affected their guitar playing and, their main instrument is guitar, but other instruments as well. But that's a big thing. And to hear that story, a stroke at 25, that was like, oh my God, that's insane. I've never heard of that. Oh, but to hear that, unfortunately, that the number is rising for younger people, that is concerning. This one isolated incident of somebody that I know that felt like an outlier. isn't sounding so much of an outlier anymore, that is scary. That definitely is
It's
scary.
terrifying, isn't it, when you start to see that happening? So I talked about high blood pressure, and again, I feel like for someone young, you feel good most of the time. You're healthy. It's hard to imagine this happening to you. And so a good thing to do is check with the elders. Who in your family has had high blood pressure? Is there someone who had a stroke? Who had a heart attack? And sometimes we'll hear from people, yes, after I had a stroke, someone said, yeah, well, grandma had a stroke. And if you had known that, it might have altered the way that you acted because we can all change the things that we do. We can change our behaviors. We can change our environment. We can't change the genes that we're born with. So, again, back to what I said before, knowledge is power. If you know that you're from a family with a history of stroke or high blood pressure or heart disease, then you really can take action now. And also, then you can keep up with your doctor a little more, like, look, this runs in the family, and you and your doctor can work together to see how the best way is to treat it.
Having the family history at hand is very important with just about anything for yourself, for the medical professionals. It helps paint a much clearer picture. So, one thing that you were also talking about with women, the fact that there are certain risk factors that you were mentioning, especially like, say, even with pregnancy or motherhood, things along those lines. But when it comes to the symptoms themselves, I remember when we talked at the radio station, how with a heart attack, the way that men and women experience heart attacks can be different. Is that also the same with strokes?
Not really. Stroke seems to have similar symptoms across genders.
Okay,
I'm
that's
happy
good to
to
know.
remind people about the differences in heart disease since you
Sure.
brought it up, Connor.
Go right ahead.
Yeah. I mean, everybody knows the traditional elephant on the chest, that crushing pain. Pain in the left arm is also common. And then women might have shoulder pain. They might have gastrointestinal distress. And I think everyone could have jaw pain. And for women, fatigue. And every woman in the world will tell you, I was born tired. That's just how I am. But you know your body. And if it's a different kind of fatigue, pay attention to it.
No, I think that's important for people to be able to kind of recognize. And you're right, especially like in 2025 today, everybody's running at 110%. Everybody's connected, everybody's overwhelmed with things. So it's kind of hard to notice at times. So, but to have that level of mindfulness, to be able to check in with yourself, to make sure you are healthy and make sure that the people around you are healthy as well. I'm the ad ref calling a timeout on this week's episode to tell you about our sponsors.
Baseball has umps, you idiot.
I don't have an umpire outfit, okay? Sue me. Hey there, I'm the ad ref calling a timeout on this week's episode to tell you about our sponsors. Next up to the plate, we have our friend Philomena Finelli from Impact PR and Communications. Philomena?
Thanks, Connor. I'm Philomena Finelli, CEO of Impact PR and Communications and a media maven, which is a fancy way of saying that my team and I help companies get in the news, transform leaders into thought leaders, and cut through the clutter with messaging that matters. And we do it all with a smile. Our agency was named the Woman-Owned Small Business of the Year for 2024 by the Metro New York District Office of the U.S. Small Business Administration, and we received the Gold Stevie Award for Women Run Workplace of the Year, which is an international recognition. But it's not about the awards, it's about the personal interactions. We at Impact PR and Communications pride ourselves on crafting meaningful, results-driven public relations campaigns that are tailored to meet and exceed our clients' goals. If you want to learn more and talk to my team and I, visit prwithimpact.com and let us know that you found out about us from Walsh Wednesday.
Thanks, Philomena. Before I hand it back over to the ad ref, I want to let you know about a special performance I have coming up. On Father's Day, Sunday, June 15th, I'll be doing a special solo acoustic Father's Day performance at Heritage Financial Park, home of the Hudson Valley Renegades. I'll be performing from 12:30 to 2 o'clock ahead of the game, Hudson Valley Renegades versus Greenville Drive. You can find information in the description of this episode. That's enough out of me. Play ball! This episode of Walsh Wednesday is brought to you by Impact PR and Communications, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Dayrock, Lockset Rock Hair Design, and Walsh Valuation. Another thing in regard to stroke, people who have chicken pox. Once they have it once, more than likely won't have it again, so you don't have to worry about it. But when it comes to stroke, though, stroke is one of those things, once you have it once, you're more prone to it, right? Or at least that's what I've heard. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Once you've had a stroke, you are more likely to have a second one. So that's where it's really important to do what your doctor says. If they've prescribed medication, keep taking it. If you're doing physical therapy, keep doing it. If they prescribe diet modifications, follow them. Knowing that you're at that risk, do everything that you can to prevent that second stroke, because they are also preventable. You know, if you follow the doctor's orders and just take good care of yourself. I wanted to mention stress, because when you said we all go 100 miles an hour, oh man, is that true? And, you know, I did feel for a little while like one good thing out of the pandemic is it made us slow down, but it brought its own stresses, of course.
Yeah.
I don't mean to make light of it. And now the world seems to be kind of back at a crazy pace. And we are also studying stress a little bit to see how it's affecting us, because we do know it has an effect on our heart. It has an effect on our brain. So it's really critical that you also try to take those mindfulness moments. You know, like you said, I was with someone recently and she said, did you ever eat your lunch just to eat your lunch? And I was like, no, I'm checking my phone. I'm finishing that work. You know, maybe I'm thinking about calling my mother. I'm like, I never just eat. And she said, try it, right? Like, just be in the moment, let the world go away. It calms you down and it actually makes you better equipped to deal with the next things that are coming. So
oh,
add
it's
that
true.
To the list.
No, it's true. I am a culprit of it myself when I'm making lunch. And since I mainly work from home, I just go up to the kitchen at least, but I'm often doing five things at the same time. So you got to be very mindful about it. What was the book that I was reading? It was written by a monk. It might be called the Art of Mindfulness. I might be wrong on the title. It's The Art of Something, but it's very big on mindfulness. And it's talking about be mindful when you eat lunch or any meal. Just like actually take in what you're eating, taste it, enjoy the entire, like your environment, your surroundings, the atmosphere, all that. Don't get lost in what you got to do after. Don't get lost in your phone. Like just be there. And how much of a difference that can make for you. And that in its own right is like a level of meditation. So, Kathy, again, thank you so much for saying so much about stroke. Before we move from May to June, is there any last bit on stroke that you want to talk about?
I guess I would really, really encourage people to talk with family members. And as we come up on summer, you know, Memorial Day is in our rearview window, but you'll be gathering with more people, whether it's family or friends or things. And you don't want to be, oh, look, I brought chopped vegetables and a booklet about stroke. But especially if you're with family, you know, just ask, you know, did anybody here suffer from any of those things? So those kind of know what you're carrying with you to the game. And if you can just keep fast in mind, then you would absolutely recognize the signs and you might save a life.
Big time. I think that, honestly, that says a lot. Remember fast. It's a scary thing when it happens, but the more prepared you are, the better the circumstances are most likely going to be. All right, so let's move from May into June. June 1st through the 7th is CPR and AED Awareness Week. Now, I think this is very important. I'm glad that I learned this from a relatively early age. I remember when I was a camp counselor back in high school, I had to take CPR classes and AED classes. I know a number of people who were lifeguards, had to do the same. And then as I've gotten older, there are other jobs that I've noticed that have to take these classes. They make it mandatory, whether it's a social job like lifeguard or camp counselor. But it's very important in the workplace, but it's really important for a lot of people. The more people who know this, just like as I said before, the more awareness, the more knowledge, the better prevention, and the better treatment that can happen later. So please, talk to us about this week.
Sure. So CPR and AED Awareness Week is just designed, again, for us to provide some education, some opportunity. It could be a good catalyst for people to say, oh, yes, I really want to learn that, learn those skills and how to do them. So that's what this week is set up for, to raise that awareness about it. And we started building a nation of lifesavers after Damar Hamlin collapsed. And, you know, he is, thank God he survived. But what an example. He was young, he was healthy, he was active, he was doing something he loved, and without any reason at all, he collapsed. And he survived because there were trained people who knew what to do. So we knew then that we really needed to expand our CPR education, which we've been doing for a long time. You know, we really own CPR, we update the guidelines for it, and we study it. And we learned that doing hands-only CPR, where you do not have to do the rescue breaths, can be effective while you wait for help to come. If you're pushing the blood through the body, it's carrying oxygen to that all-important brain, as we already talked about this episode. So hands-only CPR, so easy. One hand over the other, push hard and fast in the center of the chest. And you are more likely to save that person's life than not.
Absolutely. But also another thing about taking these classes to learning CPR and the AED is knowing the right time and place to do it, because also doing it at the wrong time and place could cause some damage. I actually have a very recent story, which is kind of insane that this happened. I was out for a friend's birthday and we go to this bar, and at the bar, somebody just totally collapses, it just falls down to their seat, totally out cold. So two of the people from our group, one of them had nurse training, the other was her boyfriend, and then there was another gentleman that came over. I'm assuming he must have been a cop, just the way he handled himself, but he knew how to do things. The three of them handled the situation very good, because a lot of people around them were saying, it's like, oh my God, let's start CPR. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, let's start compressions. Oh, do we have to do the breathing into him? Do we have to resuscitate him? And immediately they're saying, like, again, these are people who don't fully know what's going on. But fortunately, the three people there, they knew, it's like, he has a pulse, he's breathing, we have to get him into the recovery position, somebody call 911. So imagine if something was being done that would actually damage him or make things worse. I don't know what it was that happened to this man. The paramedics came. They took him. Another person in our friend group called 911. I cleared out all the tables so that the paramedics could get through. But it's a matter of that misinformation. And then there's also a lot more people at the bar who did nothing or didn't. Oh. You have, like, no response, like, no empathy, no response, nothing like that. So I think that's something that I learned a lot taking those courses, is what to do and what not to do in those situations. Is there anything you want to say based on that story?
Well, so first of all, it is terrifying. And those people at the bar who looked like they weren't responding, they were probably just terrified, like, what the heck is happening? And I don't know what to do. So that's why the training is so important. But I think the most important thing to do is call 911, because that starts a whole chain of survival and it shortens the amount of time that you have to spend as that first responder. So call 911. And then what we always, you know, say to do is to start out with people like tap their shoulders, you know, hey, are you okay? Are you okay? And if they respond, they're fine. And you can usually tell if there's a breath or not. And then I think go ahead and start CPR, and probably somebody will sit up and say, I'm not dead yet, right? You'll have a Monty Python situation on your hands. And I do not mean to make light of anyone's suffering, please, but, you know, I think it's okay. But we started hands-only CPR, and then we passed a law, gosh, almost 10 years ago now, that it would be taught in schools. So that everyone who graduated from a New York high school would know hands-only CPR, and they would have had a chance to try it on a mannequin. And by doing that, we were creating just a little bit of muscle memory so that if you are out somewhere and someone collapses, you immediately call 911 and then you step into action. And you get bonus points if you say to someone, go find an AED. And, now that I work here and have for so long, anytime I go in a place, I always clock where the AED is because they are usually out in public places. And then one thing I would love to say, Connor, in terms of worrying about hurting someone with all this hands-only CPR instruction and legislation and AED use, we also passed the Good Samaritan law so that if you, as a bystander, try to save someone and say, like, the most common thing that might happen is you might break a rib. You are safe. You are protected. You cannot be sued because of that Good Sam law. And I've met survivors of sudden cardiac arrests, and they're like, a broken rib, that will heal. A stopped heart, that won't. So thank you for starting it up again. So yeah, I mean, call 911 and you're safe. You can't be held liable. Those
Beautiful.
are two important things.
No, I appreciate you saying that. And I'm glad that you brought up the legislation. If I have my information correct, the cardiac emergency response plans in schools, it's actually going to be going before the Senate Education Committee sometime real soon. Do you want to talk about that and what that's going to be looking like from a political level and then also in an academic level?
Well, I can talk mostly about the academic level. We have a government relations director, and she is hard at work with our government, with the state legislature. And we also have a lot of volunteers who work with us on any legislative issue. And this is part of our purpose at the American Heart Association. I can teach you how to do hands-only CPR, but if I help pass a law that every student in New York needs to learn hands-only CPR, that's going to have a much bigger reach. So we try to work system-wide like that. So the cardiac emergency response plans would set up a plan in schools. What happens if someone has a sudden cardiac arrest? And schools have a lot of safety protocols. So this would just be one more thing. And it would, who will call 911? Who will start hands-only CPR? And then, really importantly, where is the AED? And stop and think for a minute about school. Okay, there's the kids there all day long, right? And then there's a school play, and hundreds of parents come in to watch their kids be in the play. And then after school, there are sports leagues. So now you've got older men, you've got older women, and they're engaging in physical activities. And then what's happening out on the fields? You've got all these teams and all these spectators playing. So what if someone has a sudden cardiac arrest and I know what to do, but the AED is locked in the principal's office? That's not so helpful, right? So, these cardiac emergency response plans, they'll just outline what the plan is should that happen in a school. So we've had some good luck with it. We had a great day at the state legislature where a lot of volunteers, including people who survived sudden cardiac arrest, went met with their legislators. And this week it's before committees in the Senate and I think in the Assembly too. So we're really hoping for passage. And then the governor would need to sign it, and then schools would start working on these plans. And there are some places that have cardiac emergency response plans here and there. So we know it can work. And we don't anticipate it being too costly or too time consuming. There's always a little bit of money and time, but when you think about the lives that you could save, that would be really terrific.
Big time.
I'm just trying to bring to mind the statistics around sudden cardiac arrest. About 350,000 people have a sudden cardiac arrest every year, and only about 10% survive. So this is a really big need. And if you perform CPR, hands only or traditional, you really double or triple a person's chances of surviving. So easy skill to learn.
No, it makes a big difference. And as you said, just because you have it in certain places, this kind of legislation will help get it widespread and have that scale could really save some lives here. So obviously we're talking about things from an academic standpoint, having this in schools, but let's say there's somebody who's listening to this right now. They've never taken a CPR class, regardless of whatever age they are. And it's like, dang, I should probably learn this. How can they sign up to take a class?
So they can head to heart.org, and if they really just want to learn hands-only CPR, they can go to heart.org/nation, and that will just show there's a video where you see the steps of hands-only CPR. And then if you dig down a little further at heart.org and look for CPR, then you'll see a list of classes that you can take in your area. Because when I talk about hands-only CPR, that's a skill that you learn quickly and can use. But like when you were working, you had to have a bigger class. You needed to learn a little bit more about why and how, and you learned compressions and breathing.
Yes.
And I'd also like to say using an AED is very simple. You open it, you turn it on, and it talks to you and tells you everything you need to know. But a full-on course where you're certified, that will go through, it'll go much deeper. And then that is really useful in a lot of jobs, and many jobs do require it. But
yeah.
Heart.org is a great place to look for all of that.
Phenomenal. And of course, we'll have all the links and information in the description of this episode so you can find all of it. At the very least, it's building the confidence. As you said,
yes.
With the AED, it talks to you. That's great.
Yep.
But having the confidence with it makes a difference. Having the confidence, even with hands only, just having that confidence, the few seconds, minutes, whatever it is that you were shaving off when you have the confidence could make all the difference in saving that life. I think that's incredible. So, Kathy, of course, May, we're just wrapping up May with American Stroke Month, June 1st through the 7th, CPR and AED Awareness Week. And then hopefully things go well when it comes with this legislation in the Senate Education Committee. As we're wrapping up this episode, is there any last little nugget that you want to express in regard to heart disease, stroke, or anything that we've talked about, or something we haven't talked about yet?
Well, I would like to say, you know, the Heart Association has been around for 100 years. Last year was our 100th anniversary. And we are where we are because so many people support us, whether it's someone like you spreading this message that I'm carrying to the wider public, the people who come to the Heart Walk, the people who come to the Go Red for Women Luncheon, the people who call their legislators and say, you have to do this. So I'd like to say a thank you to all of them. And we are always looking for people to get involved with us. So if you've got a skill, an interest, time, heart.org is a great place to go. And in particular, if you have an interest in the legislative side, which can be really empowering, I get very patriotic. And every time that we have a day at the Capitol and you go and you meet with your legislator and they and or their staff listen to you, that's what this is about. You know, this is extraordinary to be able to go and do it. And they don't always say yes. They don't always do what we want them to, but you have your time to talk about it. So anyone who would like to do that, the website for that is called heartpowered.org. So you can get involved with us that way too. So keep in touch with us. Come see us sometime.
Phenomenal, Kathy. That sounds great. And of course, we'll make sure that we get this in the description of the episodes. Heartpowered.org, you said, right?
Yep.
Fantastic. Yep. So you can check that all out. Kathy, thank you so much for being on this episode of Walsh Wednesday. Really appreciate it all.
It was great, Connor. Thank you. What a good time together. Thanks.
Always a pleasure. I'm Connor.
I'm Kathy.
And as always, we're glad we get to
spend some time.
And that's a wrap on this week's episode. Much love to our sponsors this week, Impact PR and Communications, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County, Locks That Rock Hair Design, Walsh Valuation, and Day Rock. Thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, all of those who have generously contributed to the Walsh Wednesday 2025 Fund Drive. You can see the list of names on screen or in the description of this episode. And of course, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday Warriors, Jim Robinson, John Newhall, Meg Boyce, and Jenna Hess. These individuals have pledged $100 or more to Walsh Wednesday for 2025, either through the GoFundMe or our Patreon.
You can support this channel by becoming a Patreon member with memberships as low as $5 a month. With that, you can get behind-the-scenes content, your name featured in the credits of each episode, and access to the Spend Some Time chat. You can find that and more by scanning the QR code on your screen or by going to the links in the description. As always, I'm Connor Walsh, and I'm glad we get to spend some time.